The man ran. A low red sunset glared in his eyes, as sullen as exhaustion. The dust in the wind stung his skin. But he ran. He'd always done this, always stopped the end before it started. As he turned the narrow corners, straining now for every breath, the long evening shadows crept slowly towards him, like fingers reaching for his heart. He may be too late. Behind him sprawled the poorer part of the city, a maze of crumbling walls and tight alleyways, some of it derelict, much of it underlain by the rusting metal stillness of the tram tracks. Ahead, there lay the tidier, tessellated roofs of the merchants' homes and warehouses, and, glimpsed in flashes between, the flat, metallic glint of the river. But these were not what filled his vision. He turned a corner, and there it was, huge against the hell-tinged sky, the twisting, spiral rise of the city's centre. Long curves of steps traced about its sides, past pillars and archways, levels and layers, roofs and spires. Red light gleamed from the windows and glinted from the gargoyles wrought deep into the stone. This was the city's living, breathing heart, crafted by its builders 10,000 years before. And now, its shadow crawled towards him, across the spread of streets below. The man still ran. He skidded onwards, through a knot of alleyways and past the backstreet shrines, their candles flat and flickering. Some bore offerings to the greatest of the hell spirits, Kay of the sky and Vay of the water, but he kept running, ducking under crumbling stone arches and past the shuttered and rattling doors. Another corner, and he could hear it. Singing, shouting, drunken youthful laughter, thrown careless and skyward. As the red sun sank to the lip of the surrounding crater, he knew that he'd found it. There. His instincts had not failed him. Under a mounting storm that had the population quailing, this was exactly what he'd come to stop. The end of the world. It was an old tale, and one he knew well. A tale of a red sun, bloated and weary. A tale of a great city, sealed in a huge caldera. A tale of metallurgical equations and of raucous teens dancing in the dirt. He could see them, cavorting reckless by their gusting, flattened flames. Above them, the rusting metal of the city's water clock stood like a guardian, all rotted with age and spray. Its wheels still turned, but the little figures that had once whirred from their lairs and tapped at each other with tiny curved swords were creaking and soundless now, their jaws flapping like skulls. Everything rattled as the wind grew higher. The birds tumbled like refuse. The kids danced on, oblivious. The equations were unknown to them, a joke. They had no idea what they'd done. But he knew, he could feel it, that thin, bright thread of reawakened consciousness. And he knew it, ah, so well. The crash of roof tiles startled him. Provoked and exultant, the kids laughed at the noise, at the storm, at the sheer violence of it. They were daring, drinking, jumping. Every one of them would die before the figures on the clock fought again. The man leapt at them. They turned, angry, demanding to know what the hells he was doing. But he shoved through them, blurring their equations with his boot. The fire gusted, flared at him like something living. Coughing at the sudden roar of heat, he raised a hand to shield his eyes. The flames detonated, searing his skin. He stumbled back, his hair smoking. The spray from the clock made his burned clothing steam. He could hear screaming. The kids were scattering now, panicked. One collapsed beside him, blood gouting from her mouth. Her companion fell to his knees, keening thinly, his hands wrapped round his head. There was laughter, a breath in the wind. It said, "Not this time." Another kid stumbled past him, sobbing. He answered, "This time is no different." His voice was soft, grey. "I'll always be here, and I'll always stop you." The kids were charred and dead, twisted in suffering.